Good day, Lisa. Males and myself will share our stories as women with disability.
Hi, I'm Mel and I'm a self-advocate and I work for Powerful Positive Parents.
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm also a self-advocate with a brain injury, and I work for the Office of the Public Advocate in Victoria.
I'm Sarah. I'm with Bass Coast, New Ways Bass Coast and Rainbow Rights, and I'm with New Ways Rainbow Pride in Gippsland.
I'll begin this chat. In 2005, I acquired my brain injury. I thought it was I was in a completely different world. The world had changed so much. Not only did I have to learn how to do things again, I had to learn how to do them. I don't know where my experience begins or where it ends, being a woman or being a woman with a disability. I have always been discriminated against as a woman. But now I'm discriminated against as a woman with a disability. I'm the same person, but with both experiences. How people who supposedly know me treat me because I have an invisible disability and or because I am a woman. Thank you. It's very different from before because people who supposedly know me treat me differently, but I'm the same person. Except that, but I have a disability. But fundamentally, I'm the same person. I haven't changed that much. And it's just very weird to realize that people's reactions are different. People who knew me before treat me completely differently.
Discrimination comes up every single day for me. Having a disability, it's something that I have learnt to live with because society just seems to continue to judge. Even though the laws say that you shouldn't judge and you're not allowed to judge because it's against the law, the harsh reality is that society does. People prey. They are like sharks looking for people who are vulnerable. I think women with a disability, it's a huge problem because we get preyed upon a lot more than other people in the community.
Oh, they take over people's Facebooks, messengers, and hack my gov site.
These people take over people's lives, or at least attempt to. People in the community try to make people feel like they are stupid and like they don't know what's going on. Everybody's idea of normal is different, but some people expect you to know what their idea of normal, what it is. I personally think different is good. People need to learn to accept each other and treat each other fairly and stop this judging nonsense.
We've got to break those stereotype people.
And it'd be great to see what the world would be like if this actually ever happens. And I'm not sure how far away it is before this happens, but it would be great to see it happen.
Oh, it would be a beautiful world, that would be, if everybody didn't discriminate against each other and we're all equal. What a world would that be?
And it would be a stronger world because we'd include people rather than excluding and judging. And by including people, that makes strength as opposed to weakness, which is not including and discriminating, that is a sign of weakness. Raising Our Voices is a radio show run by people with a disability about people with a disability. Nothing about us without us.
Today, me and Lisa Mills are sharing our stories as women with disability. I'm going to pass it on to Mills to tell her story.
My story is 25 years ago, I grew up in DHS care and I'd left DHS care. While I was in DHS care, I actually fell pregnant to my first child, who was then born and removed at birth. It was automatically thought that I was unable to parent my child due to my intellectual disability. and growing up in care. It was pure discrimination. The system is difficult to navigate, but it can be done. 25 years later, I did it. I gave birth to my daughter and I got to keep her at my home. It's proof that having a disability doesn't mean that it's not possible to parent a child. Too many people look at a person with a disability and think they cannot parent their child, and it's not correct.
They think that people with a disability cannot do anything. So it's not true, but it kind of follows through from that.
We are human beings. We don't deserve this judgment and discrimination. Being able to parent my child has been the best opportunity of my life, which for many years I thought was not going to be possible. But it was possible, and I did do it. And the amount of support that's offered can sometimes be overwhelming and makes things heavier rather than lighter, when the whole point of support is supposed to be to make things lighter and easier. Having these experiences for many years made me feel disempowered. It was really difficult to turn my life around and get things together in order to be able to finally get some success in my life. But for many years, this wasn't the case. And for many years, people did walk over me and people did abuse me, and things felt like I was going nowhere. But when I fell pregnant with my child, I knew that I wanted her. I knew it was possible, but I knew things had to change. So I did absolutely everything and linked in with every single support person possible in order to make this a success. It's just disappointing that a person with a disability has to go out the extra mile and has to link in with all these support people, as opposed to a person who doesn't have a disability and doesn't have to have that same worry and that same concern. A person who doesn't have a disability doesn't have to worry about getting a application put into the department about their child when they're going to be born, where a person with a disability does. And it's not fair, and it makes it more of a challenge. Well, I've challenged the challenge and I've been successful and I've won. And that's what makes me passionate about my new role as a peer worker with powerful, positive parents.
Oh, that's great. Well, don't let anybody put you down. You're doing a great work with your children and all that.
And the people that do the wrong thing are the ones that make it difficult for everyone else, who's not out to do the wrong thing and who only wants the best and only wants to do the right thing.
I'm Sarah. I'm going to talk about being a trans woman, and I'm Aboriginal and a lesbian, to top it up. But being trans women, back in the days when I was one, started, it was very hard. People wanted to hurt you. There were a lot of killings and everything else. And these days now, it's much easier. But we still have some people want to call me a sir and things like that, and put the foot in the mouth, and that they go off half cock because they call me a sir and everything else. And I called a woman a sir, and I says I haven't got the package down below on my birth certificate, it says female. So let's look back, and that now it's much easier. And I talk to people when I go camping and everything else, and they're really good. They're really good about it. Plus, being Aboriginal, I'm fairly white. And people say, no, you're not Aboriginal. And I've got to argue with them. And then they want to know what's my country. And I tell them it's Kunai Gunai. And they'll try to tell me it's not a word. And I said, yes, it is. Then they will tell me that I don't have enough blood. Being Aboriginal, it must be all white. I said, no, it's all black blood. I'm black. Then they just look at it, and plus I will flail my Aboriginal flag and my trans flag around. I got kicked out of a town because I had my Aboriginal flag up and it was very racist and everything else, and that wasn't long ago. Now, being lesbian, I ride with dykes on bikes and they ask stupid questions. Really stupid. They wanted to know that I couldn't bring my boyfriend with me. And I says, this is dykes on bikes. Dykes means dykes, lesbian, don't have a boyfriend. And he said, yeah, good. You got it right then. Don't ask me stupid questions. And plus, I've got a brain injury and it makes it very hard because I forget things really quickly. And I got short-term memory loss and everything else. And I go on about the things I've done a long time ago in the past. And it's a lot easier to talk about that than what's going on in my life now because I keep forgetting things and everything else. And it's so hard. And it's not getting any better. It's getting worse, I think, and everything else. Like when I go from shopping, I'll take a photo and I'll go and look at the other one now because I know that's the only way I'm going to get through it. And plus, I will go in the shops. I'm going in there to get something. I get other things. I come out. I forget it. Go back in the shop again. And I still forget it. And I say to me, oh, I'll do that another time. It will look silly if I go in the third time and still forget. Yeah, and I've been doing this for a long time now, and I enjoy my life. I enjoy being a female and everything else. It's the best way of life these days and everything else. And I met so many people, good people, that's got disability and everything else. People just see the disability. They don't see the person, who they are or what they are. So they just run us down and everything else, and that's not the good thing. So you got to remember, think before you speak, and then understand us. Don't put us down, and you get to know us more and more, and better it is. Yeah, so that's about it, I think.
I think she's expressed herself very well.
Thank you. Did you like that bit when I said, us? Get to know us.
If only.
So we've got time for mouths to add more.
I just wanted to mention something about how the world and how society is so big on equal rights and human rights. But when you think about it, and when you look at how things actually happen down here on the ground, it doesn't match up and it doesn't really happen. I just wonder, why do we have these human rights and equal rights if half the population doesn't really apply them?
My theory on that is it's because it looks really good to have them written down in theory, but there's very little you can do in practice when everything's just in theory.
Plus, to people, it's just too hard. So they won't do anything to it at all because it's just so hard to push and change things. So they just keep writing it down on paper. Mm-hmm. It's like the government. The government can change things, but they won't.
And then I guess there's the other point as well that technically when it comes to a law, you know what I mean, then you have like your law enforcers to enforce it. But I wonder who is actually enforcing these things, because I see a lot of people out there doing things, but I don't see a lot of people actually enforcing these laws and the punishments for people who breach these laws. How often does that happen?
Because they got to do things and they won't do it because it's all right on the paperwork, but when it comes to doing the law, that's the hardest part. So we got to keep calling it out, keep doing the hard yard, so then it will something might change. But without our voices, nothing will change.
And we've got to encourage others out there who may also have a disability, who may also feel like they're not empowered to be empowered, and come and speak to us.
Yeah, it's getting out there.
Thanks for listening to Raising the Voices on 3CR 855 AM, a radio show run by people with a disability about people with a disability. Join us next month where we talk about our experience as people with a disability. If you would like to reach out to a self-advocacy group for support, or if you want to know more information about it, you can visit the Self-Advocacy Resource Unit's website, which is located at capital S, A for Apple, R for Rob, and U for Umbrella, .net.au. Or you can call on 039-639-6856 and someone will take your call. Thanks for listening.